ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय There's a mixed crowd here tonight. By that I mean that there are several people who are fairly new to Krishna consciousness, at least in this life, and there are others who are not. So we generally we speak at different levels according to the audience or the hearers. Persons who have been could the men just move up a little bit, because the space at the back for the ladies seems to be not quite enough. The newcomers have to sit in there also. Those who have been exposed to this for more time, naturally they're going to have more knowledge and understanding. Just like most of the newcomers here are young working men, is it? And finished your studies, studied what? Engineering, many of you, different electrical engineering, civil engineering, computer engineering, this and that. So you, from your studies, you can understand there are different levels. Just like you start studies, what age? Within the womb, practically, they start teaching, isn't it? Then you go to lower KG and upper KG, then first grade, and what they teach you when you first go to school is not the same as they teach you in the engineering college, because you can't grasp it. The child, if you try to teach a five-year-old child about, I know, what do they teach you in engineering? All different kinds of engineering. Okay, say Pythagoras' theorem. That comes before the engineering. That comes in the school, right? So they can't understand. You know, Mohan, do you know what Pythagoras' theorem is? Actually, I just saw that. Well, it's not a new discovery, but in India, they call it Pythagoras' theorem, because Pythagoras was more or less from the West, from Greece, but in Vedic mathematics, long, long before Pythagoras, they by some different name, it was already there. There's Vedic cosmology, the ancient people of scientists of India, they could predict when a lunar eclipse is coming. Just like we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that people from all over North India, they went to Kurukshetra to bathe there on the occasion of a solar eclipse. That means they, please don't take photos. Oh, you just came in, you didn't hear the announcement. Okay, you can take photos after the class, during the class, please keep your ears open. So they went to bathe on the occasion of a solar eclipse, which means they had to spend some days going there, which means it was predicted in advance, which means they had knowledge of astronomy, which means they had knowledge also of geometry. So anyway, the point I'm making is there are different levels. I don't know much about geometry, even, because I left school and forgot it years ago. You probably are still using it, is it? You have to use it in your if you practice engineering. Anyway, there are different levels, and I'm going to speak on a level here that will be, hopefully, at least intellectually understandable for the newcomers. If I have to learn anything about engineering, and by Srila Prabhupada's grace, I don't, I got saved from all that stuff, I could hear it from you. But you've kindly come to hear about Krishna consciousness, is it not? You've come to hear about it. So, you can hear it from me. You've probably understood out of your short time that you've been taking interest in Krishna consciousness. Again, I'm saying in this life, because to take interest in Krishna consciousness means that almost certainly you had some touch in a previous life. Otherwise, why would you take interest? It's a continuum from a previous life. So again, we're talking about the first basic teachings. So the first teaching of Bhagavad Gita, which is highly elevated subject matter, but it is the beginning teaching of spiritual knowledge. So compared to any material subjects, it's very high, but in spiritual subjects, we can't exactly say it's low. Just like you can't say that 2 + 2 is low. It's simple, but you can't say it's low in the sense that, well, it's just some nonsense to be rejected. Even basic arithmetic is absolutely essential, however high you go in mathematics, or applied mathematics, physics, this and that. So similarly, the Bhagavad Gita, even though it's basic spiritual teachings, it is essential throughout. However high you go in spiritual understanding, the teachings of Bhagavad Gita remain essential. Just like simple arithmetic remains essential, however high you go in mathematics. So the first and most basic teaching of Bhagavad Gita is that we have birth after birth after birth, which has massive ramifications, if you think about it. Well, first of all, let's address, before we get to the ramifications, is it a fact that we have birth after birth after birth? It's a very important topic, isn't it? What happens after death? Did anyone ever teach you that in all your years of LKG, UKG, school and then college? No, no one ever taught you. What happens after death? No one ever taught. But it's the most important thing, isn't it? Because, well, if we take the teachings of Gita, or even for that matter the Bible or the Quran, seriously, whatever we do in this life affects us eternally in the future. Now, if we take seriously all that stuff they teach you in science classes and biology classes, which I hope you don't take it too seriously, because a lot of it's nonsense, actually. But that's maybe a little high for you to understand right now. What is it? You get to learn that a long time ago, all fairy stories begin with once upon a time, right? So once upon a time, there was no time. There was nothing. And then nothing exploded. And then it all settled down and became the different planets. And there was all bubbling, some hot soup. And then some germs jumped out of it, and gradually they turned into fish. And then some land came, and then the fish crawled onto the land and became lizards. And they became monkeys, and then they became Charles Darwin, and something like that. Something like that. So it's a fairy story. It's nonsense. Nothing comes from nothing, right? And there's a lot of something all around us, right? So it didn't all come from nothing. Maybe Sai Baba produces watches from nothing, but I don't think so. I think he keeps them up his sleeve and drops them down in his hand. Right? Goes like this, and then... So nothing, And they're all branded watches, right? They're not Sai Baba watches. So he must have got them from somewhere, right? So nothing comes from nothing. So all that stuff they taught you in school about biological evolution, it's all nonsense. We are eternal living beings. If you believe all that stuff they teach you at school, then you are simply a bag of chemicals. Complex bag of chemicals. But actually, we are more than chemicals. I am not hydrogen or oxygen or carbon or nitrogen or helium or lead. I'm not any of these things. And if you put all these chemicals together, it won't make me or you or even a mosquito. Nor can the scientists do it. They say that life is only chemicals, but if you give them the chemicals and say, okay, make a blade of grass, living blade, they can make a plastic blade of grass. But they can't make a real blade of grass. So the first teaching of Bhagavad Gita is that we are not chemicals. We are not the body is temporary, but we are eternal living beings. And we are born again and again and again and again in this material world. And it's full of suffering. That comes a little later in Bhagavad Gita, but the first teaching is that we are living beings, this body is not me. I am eternal. That's the first teaching. And if you believe in science and the scientific method, then you don't believe in Bhagavad Gita, then do a Google search, or whatever search engine you use, for Ian Stevenson, transmigration, reincarnation. And you'll find, and he was the first of several, he's reincarnated somewhere now. We don't know, he died. But he was the first of several scientists to dedicate their life to make scientific inquiries into transmigration, reincarnation. And the conclusion is overwhelming. And even in America now, they're in the universities with departments for the scientific study of reincarnation. And a huge number of people in the Western countries believe in reincarnation because the evidence for it is so overwhelming. So that's the first teaching of Bhagavad Gita, that we are not the body, we are eternal living beings. We get body after body after body, according to our desires. We get different kind of bodies. And later, gradually, the Gita teaches how this material world is full of suffering, which you can also observe. If someone's a little spiritually awakened, or even materially awake, with a little more intelligence, or different kind of intelligence than most people have, you can understand that this world is simply full of suffering. Yeah, different kind of intelligence. You've all heard the saying, thinking outside the box. Right? You've heard that? You're supposed to think outside the box. Well, Krishna consciousness, the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, it's thinking outside the box. What is the box? The box, we're boxed up in this material world by thinking that I am this body, I am in this world to live happily in this world, and that's what everyone is doing. Where is that? Google. Is it Google? They have their motto, think different. Which for a start is, is it Apple? Yeah, Apple. Apple, okay. Which for a start is bad English. Should be think differently. Unless you put a comma after think, and you speak to someone called Mr. Different, and you're telling him to think. Otherwise, it's in the sense that it's meant, it's poor English for a start. Oh, there are so many Indians there, right? In Silicon Valley. I guess it's cultural mixing, poor English, all this. So think different. But if you walk into their campus and say, I thought completely differently, that anyway, what's the point of working in this company? We're all going to die anyway. And they don't want you to think that differently. They want you to think in a different way so you can get ahead of the competition and come up with something new, something different which they can sell to others. But if you come up with a different thinking, that what's the use of selling things to others anyway, creating more and more garbage and pollution and exploiting all the people in Africa and everywhere else to get all these ingredients we need for our, for whatever it is, I this and I that, iPad, iPod, I toilet and everything. It's going to be, isn't it? That's coming, I guess, the I toilet. I everything else, right? Why not an I toilet that it monitors the speed it comes out? All the, what's, it does an immediate analysis of what's there, and then it comes on your computer screen. From your stool analysis, we can understand you have approximately 25 minutes left to live. So quick, buy the latest iPod before you die. You never know. It's all coming. So if you think that differently, if you get complete outside the box that we are living in this world with the idea to make it more enjoyable. They don't want you to think that differently. This whole material world is like a big, big box. We're all boxed in. You say, well, I don't see any box. Where's the box? Yeah, the box is the misconception that I can be happy in this world. So Krishna consciousness is a completely different way of thinking. Not only is it different, but it is repulsive to many people because they become very afraid if they think that, oh, if I have to take to Krishna consciousness, then I can't be happy, because their whole definition or understanding of happiness is the ideas that have been given to us since birth, and maybe even before. driving in Bangalore, you can see so many neon signs, all the shops. It's all, they're all trying to sell you something, isn't it? Iyengar's bakery, they want to sell you some cakes, which maybe when they founded Iyengar's bakery they didn't have eggs, but probably they have eggs now. But the idea was it could be vegetarian. So okay, they're trying to sell you something. And then what else? Jewelry, so many jewelry shops. They're all trying to sell you something, isn't it? What's that? Tanishq. Tanishq, is it? Tata's answer to, what's that one beginning with J from the Gulf? Some Muslim thing? Jai? Jaya Lucas. Jaya Lucas. That's from Abu Dhabi or somewhere like that. So they're all trying to sell you the idea that, okay, you buy some jewelry and then your life will be better. Isn't it? Life will be better. It will be better if you transfer the money from your account to Joya Lucas's account. They get more money and you get some jewelry. And it's good for you to do so. You should do so. And everyone's, in this way, what they're trying to sell you is some illusion that your life will be better if you eat cakes from Iyengar's bakery, or you get some jewelry from Tanishq. They're also trying to sound Muslim, is it? Is it they're taking over the jewelry business? Or your life will be better if you have this jewelry. And everyone is trying to sell you something. And if you think about it a little bit, you can understand that they're not selling it to you for your benefit, they're selling it for their benefit. But you don't want to think about it too much, because becomes too much. Every moment they're bombarding you with this, that, and if you say that I don't want all that, then what have you worked for all these years? You've worked so hard to study and get a job. You could have got a job as a mazdoor building the house, and actually you couldn't, because all the people in the college they don't have enough strength to work all day like that. You can go to the gym and do your exercises, but you can't work all day on a building site, can you? Even if you tried, but you'd rather starve to death than do that, right? It's below your dignity. Huh? So you may think that your life is better than the people who are... How much they earn? 300 rupees a day? Something like that? Working on the building site? 300 to 500. 300 for the women, 500 for the men. Is it like that? Yes. And the women work harder.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how much do you earn as a junior engineer? In the beginning they just squeeze you, right? They give you practically nothing. And when you're half dead, then they throw you out of the job. Then you have to find it. Because they can get new men just coming out of the college. Anyway, they charge. They probably give you more than 300 rupees a day, whatever it is. Up to 1,000 a day. So you can go around on a motorbike and live in some with six or seven other people in one room. This is your life. But you know, if you think about it, what am I doing with my life? Becomes painful. When you understand that everything you've been trained for from the beginning of your life, and everything you're doing for in the future as far as you can see, has no actual benefit to you whatsoever. It's simply miserable. And useless. And what happens after death? You don't know. Well, we can tell you. People who live in ignorance, they die in ignorance, and they go back to the cycle of birth and death. If we live without utilizing the human form of life, which is meant for God realization, if we live simply for enjoying the senses, as do the animals, they have no higher knowledge. We cannot speak topics of Bhagavad Gita to animals. Of course you can do, but it's a total waste of time. And people who are in animalistic consciousness, they can't hear this at all. That's why I say, you must have had some contact with this in a previous life. Otherwise, why should you come here? Saturday night! It's the one time of the week when you can enjoy yourself. Go out and spend all that money you earned all the week and get drunk and get a beautiful headache for the next morning. What are you doing here? If you tell some of your so-called friends at work, what do you do on Saturday evening? I went to a talk about Bhagavad Gita. Ooh, crazy man. He's crazy. But who is crazy? You work all week to earn money, and then you blow it all in one evening, and what do you get at the end? A headache. That's all. Then you spend the rest of Sunday recovering from the headache, and Monday morning, bliss! back to work. And just look at the faces of the people all around you. Miserable. But on Saturday night they're not miserable. They are miserable also. When they're shouting and screaming and laughing, big drunken love, look in their eyes. There's no happiness whatsoever. Nothing. That so-called happiness, it's just a covering. It's covering over their misery. It's a mental covering. That's why they're afraid to listen to Bhagavad Gita, because they're afraid, if I take off this covering of, yeah, I'm happy, I'm riding on my motorbike and I go to the party and I earn money and I'm going to have a great career. If they take that off, they're afraid, because underneath, simply misery. And some of them can't keep it on very long and they end up in the mental hospitals, for which Bangalore, it's one of the booming businesses of Bangalore. IT, hospitals for overseas patients, mental hospitals. What happens after some time, they understand intuitively, I'm miserable, this is horrible, I don't want to do this, I don't want to live like this. There comes a point where they just can't bottle it up. But they don't have any sensible answer, and they just lose the thread altogether. And the companies don't care. They go to the hospital and they bring in some more people to mess up their life. So you thought you were coming for a Bhagavad Gita talk? What's all the? Yeah, it says in Bhagavad Gita, everything I'm saying is from Bhagavad Gita. Everything I've said so far is from Bhagavad Gita. You say, does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita that Bangalore is miserable? Yes! Which verse? What's the Sanskrit? Is Bangalore in the Bhagavad Gita? Yeah, it's right there. It says, I'll give you the Sanskrit. Anityam asukam lokam. So anityam means temporary. Everything in this world is temporary. Asukam means without happiness. And lokam means the material world. So Bangalore is in the material world. It's not different anywhere else. You may think, all right, let me go somewhere else. But it's the same everywhere. Therefore, one who is into... Okay, now I'll give you some... If you want something really sounding scriptural, I'll give you a verse spoken by Krishna. Not in Bhagavad Gita, this is from Srimad Bhagavatam. Ladvasu durlabham idam bahu sambhavanta. You all know this verse? You all know this verse? You all learn this verse. Most important verse. Manusham arthitam anityam. Hear that word again, anityam. I said from the Gita also, Bhagavad Gita. Anityam. Apiha dhira. Turnam yateta napateta numritta yava nishrayasaya visharakalu sarvatasya. Krishna says, just if you can understand this one verse, your whole life will radically change for the better. Although all the people around you will say, you've gone crazy. But by now you might have understood that everything else is crazy. Okay, Krishna says, Ladva. So you can understand what this means. Labdva. Laba, you all know this word, means gain. So labdva, having gained. It's like in Hindi you say, lab karke. So labdva, having gained. Sudurlabham. You can understand. Very rare. Idam, you don't understand. It means this. Bahu means many. You can understand. Sambhavante. You probably don't understand. It means births. Labdva sudurlabham idam. Bahu sambhavanti. Manusham. So, manusham you could understand. So this means having obtained a human birth, human body after many births. Labdvasu dolabhamidang bahu sambhavanti. Manusham. Arthadam, we can understand. Artha. You know the word, artha. It means meaning. So the human life, it is meaningful, and it also means in the sense of money or gain. So in both senses it can be taken. Artha dam. Dam means giving. Manusham artha dam anityam. It is temporary. How old are our budding engineers here? 24, 25, is it? Something like that? Okay, multiply by 3, 75. Still going to be alive at 75? Maybe. Maybe not. Going to be alive in 24 seconds? Maybe, maybe not. Multiply by 4, 100. Not very likely. Multiply by 5, highly unlikely that you're going to be in the same body. So, anityam. Won't be around long. It's temporary. Anityam api. Api means even though. Even though it's temporary, apiha, iha. Iha means in this, here, right, we're here, we're right here now in this situation, in this world. Dhira. Have you heard the word dhira, dhira? Sometimes people, they're given the name adhira or dhira. So it means very sober, thoughtful. Turnam yateta napatet. As long as someone who is very thoughtful, as long as he has not died, he should act in such a way that he won't get born again. He should act nishrayasa for the ultimate benefit. Why did you go to school? Why did you go to college? Why are you working in a job? You're doing it for some benefit, isn't it? The idea is that, why do you work in a company all week? The idea is that you will get back something which is worth giving all your time and energy to. Practically, isn't it? Your whole life revolves around your work. Even your sleeping is so that you can get energy to go back to work. Your eating is so that you can get energy to work. So you're giving your whole life with the idea that you are getting some benefit. Otherwise, why should you do it? But nishraya, what is the highest benefit? Now someone, the highest benefit is, the highest benefit is that, at least the beginning of the understanding of the highest benefit is that we don't get born again. Now if you say, well, there are so many things to enjoy. So many things to enjoy in this world. There's beer and pubs and girls and fashion and cricket. Wish I could have been a cricket star. Anyway, I'm an engineer. So many things to enjoy. But Krishna tells us that everywhere in the whole material existence there is sense enjoyment. Everywhere. Even the mosquitoes, they're getting enjoyment. For them, the most amazingly wonderful, joyful experience for a mosquito is to land on the body of a human, or maybe the nose of a dog, and put in its proboscis and suck out blood. What happiness they feel in that. He's enjoying, very happy. That's his pleasure. For the pig, he likes to go out in the fields early in the morning where people are letting out their yesterday's meal, and he enjoys naturally processed food, fresh, taza, garam, nasta. They get hot, fresh breakfast. They love it. What if I was to bring you some taza garam nasta? Oh, yeah, what is it? It's called Pig's Delight. You like it? Anyone? Volunteers? Anyone want hot, fresh stool? But the pig, they love it, they enjoy it. The two pigs will be running and pushing each other out of the way to see who can get there first. That's it. That was you. That was me in a previous lifetime. You want to go back there? Well, I can show you the door. The door to pig's life. What is the door? It's the same door as the door to the bar. If we live for sense gratification, we get various opportunities in various species of life. So, that one word is there in Bhagavad Gita, dukhalayam. Dukhalayam. Twice in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, anityam asukam lokam dukhalayam ashashvatam. So, everything that I've been saying, it's all summed up in two words, actually two words from Bhagavad Gita. Krishna sums up the whole history of material existence. All history, sociology, anthropology, physics, chemistry, biology, everything. Dukhalayam ashashvatam. Everything in this world is miserable and temporary. Just like you get some formula, scientific formula, E equals MC squared. Simple formula, right? There's a lot of stuff packed in there. Isn't it? To understand that might take... First of all, you have to have enough intelligence. Not everyone can study to the level that they can begin to understand. Tell you the truth, I haven't got a... I mean, I know what it means. Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. But I can't understand. I have no idea what it means. How can you... What does it mean, the speed of light squared in actual... I mean, I can understand how you square a number. But how do you square the speed of light? It means the number, the speed of light. I don't know. It's beyond me. Anyway, I'm just making the point that in a simple formula, you've got so much knowledge and understanding, it's packed in there. So when Krishna says, anityam asukam lokam, this material world is miserable and temporary. Please try and listen. Some people came in and it's obviously easier for you to look at them, but you're supposed to be listening to me. It'll be more benefit, actually, to listen to what I have to say. So, there's so much packed in there to understand that everything in this world is miserable and temporary. But that is only the beginning, and that is just the platform. We have to go beyond that. Just like if you go to school, 2 + 2 = 4. Okay, it's a formula. I understand. That's also metaphysical. If you think about it, what is a number? There's no... You could say 2 + 2 = 4. What does it mean actually? It's symbols. There's no thing as a number. Right? This is a pen. But a number is just a concept. So that even in a simple formula like 2 + 2 = 4, the understanding the psychology of it and the symbol... Any subject we take in this world, it's vast, massive, huge. But it all comes down to everything in this world is miserable and temporary. Or we can put that in English, in a formula. Material world equals nonsense. It's all nonsense, all this idea. You can be buy this, buy that, work hard, get a good job, get ahead, get a good career. It's all nonsense. Everything, the whole thing. Why? Because by nature, what do we want more than anything? Can anyone think? One word. What do we want more than anything? Happiness! Is there any happiness in Tanishq jewelry? Shake it out, get a gold chain. Happiness? Happiness? What about Joy Lucas jewelry? Did I say it right? Joy Lucas? Is there any happiness? Is there any happiness in looking on your iPhone and seeing your current bank balance is more than you thought it was? They say, yeah, there's happiness in that. There's happiness when I'm feeling hungry and I eat some food. Well, you could say it's happiness, but is it really happiness? When the pig is eating what you were eating the day before, is that really happiness? There may be some experience of pleasure, but is that happiness? Is anyone in Bangalore happy? Really, if you think about it, deeply content in their heart, experiencing joy at every moment, no anxiety. Can anyone even imagine to be like that? Is it? Does anyone even aspire to be like that? Look at the buses on Monday morning, the people crammed in. See if they're happy. Or even if you feel a little happiness from putting on some jewelry, there's also the anxiety that someone's going to steal it from you, or maybe even kill you for it. There's also the envy that comes at seeing someone has more jewelry than me. So this whole idea that I shall be happy in this material world, it's all nonsense. That means that everything that you have been doing and you've been taught to do since childhood, and actually not only in this life but in every life, millions of lifetimes, billions, trillions, zillions, quadzillions and whatever, illions, it's all nonsense. It's all because it doesn't bring what our heart really wants, which is happiness. Therefore, Krishna says, having obtained this rare human birth, we should aspire for that which is beyond birth and death. Out of the box. As long as we're in this material box, which doesn't just mean the material world, but a whole way of thinking, a whole way of thinking that I shall be happy in this world, that whole way of thinking binds us to repeated birth and death. So Krishna comes to teach us, Bhagavad Gita, to teach us to how to actually be happy. You've all seen pictures of Krishna, isn't it? Have you ever seen a picture of Krishna sitting in a bus on Monday morning with a look like, I wish it was Friday evening and not Monday morning? Have you ever seen Krishna like that? No. Krishna is always happy. What does that mean? He has enough money? Yeah, he has enough money. He's got whatever money you've got, it's actually all his. And that's another reason money doesn't make us feel happy, because we're all criminals. If we think we're enjoying this money, it actually all belongs to him. But that is not the main source of his happiness. Krishna's the most beautiful, not this, some film star, Priyanka Chopra, not that beauty. That beauty means peel it off. Just if you take Priyanka Chopra, just say take about, take 3 millimeters off all over. Will it be beautiful? You like to embrace and kiss? It'd be a big bloody mess. Well, that's what it is actually underneath. And you know what? As far as the pigs are concerned, the best part of any this Chopra, that Chopra, or any, the best thing is the thing that comes out at the backside. They do also. Film stars' bodies, they're also full of stool and pus and blood and urine. I've got nothing against her. Not so, I'm just talking a fact. That's all. So, Krishna's beauty, Satchit Ananda Vigraha. It's completely different. It's outside the box. Whatever's inside this box is only a perverted reflection of the actual spiritual reality, who is Krishna. So Krishna is the most beautiful. Krishna is the most knowledgeable. Speaks Bhagavad Gita. And even any knowledge which we have, just like I was saying in the beginning, in India they have astronomy, this Jyoti Shastra. Nowadays people Jyoti Shastra think you go to the astrologer. That's only a small part of Jyoti Shastra. The astronomy, astrology is all based on astronomy, is it not? So astronomy is a great science. The Indians had that way back in the past. And so many sciences, Ayurveda, science of life, it all comes from Veda. Veda means knowledge. Comes from Krishna. Krishna gives knowledge, both material and spiritual. So Krishna has all knowledge, all wealth, all beauty. What does Krishna want? Happiness. Why do we want happiness? Because we are all part and parcel of Krishna. And Krishna is by nature happy. But what is that happiness? What does the happiness come from? What if you have all the jewelry you want? Will it make you happy? No. You may doubt it. But you go and see so many rich people. In our Krishna Consciousness Movement we meet very rich people, we meet very poor people and lots of in between. There's no happiness in jewelry. Food, what's your favorite food? Anyone? What do you like to eat? Gulab jamuns, samosas, rasgullas, did I hear? Someone? Rasgulla. Bengali naki. Huh? They like Rasgulla, Keshi Dash, Rasgulla, famous sweet shop in Calcutta. Okay, how many? You all know what Rasgullas are? Have you heard of it? Let's say Gulab Jamun. Everyone knows Gulab Jamun, right? Okay, you like to eat Gulab Jamuns? Okay, here's 2,000. Eat them all. Will you be happy? One, very nice. Two, great. Three, by about 10, nice gulab jamuns. 20, 50, anyone can eat 50? We could have a competition, gulab jamun eating competition. 50, do anyone think they can make it to 50? Yeah, you're a young man, you can do it. 500? No way. No way. There comes a point when whatever we think will give us happiness, it's if we take more and more and more, it gives distress. So what's the actual happiness? If there's any happiness in this world, what is it? Any idea? You all know the word, either in English or Kannada or whatever. In Sanskritam, it begins with pra. Prem. Premam. Love. That's why we worship Radha Krishna. Radha and Krishna. What's so great about Radha and Krishna? Well, everything great. Everything is great about them. But what is the most attractive principle is the love they share between them. But that's not like the love between you and some drunken girlfriend who ditches you for some other drunken idiot the next day. That's a completely different thing. Well, not completely different, because what in this is in this world is a perverted reflection. It's a reflection. Means it's not the real thing. Just like if you see a gulab jamun in a mirror, looks great. Oh, I'm just what I'm hungry and I love gulab jamuns. It's in the mirror. Can you enjoy it? No. So, love in this material world is a perverted reflection of love in the spiritual world. Love in this material world means I want to enjoy, actually. I want to enjoy the body of someone else. This is the grossest manifestation. That's called kama. Kama. In Bhagavad Gita, this word comes again and again. Kama is what binds us in this material world, material desire. But prema means simply Krishna loves Radha, means he wants to please her. She wants to please him. That is very simply put. Now we're going to very high topics. We're talking the E equals MC squared of spiritual knowledge. So we could, just like we say E equals MC squared, but to actually understand it is not so easy. So we can talk about Radha and Krishna's love, and we can have some general idea, but to actually understand it, that requires what? Purification of heart. It's not simply some mental activity. It requires purification. And what does purification mean? It means to be freed of the karma within our heart. Material desire binds us to this material world. Because we think, I can be happy in this world. We are bound up in this world. But when we understand that I am a spiritual being. I am part of Krishna, who is the supreme spiritual being. I am an eternal servant of Krishna. I'm supposed to serve Krishna. When you hear that word serve, you think, oh no, again, I already served this company. I'm miserable. I don't want to serve. Nokari choro, bepa koro. I remember seeing that sign years ago. I saw in Surat. Nokari choro, vyapa koro. Hamse lone lelo. So, that's the idea. Nokari, miserable, service. Why is service in this world miserable? It's a perverted reflection of the service in the spiritual world. Reflection means it's back to front. So, in this world, service is miserable because it's all based on calm. I'm working, I don't want to work, but I'm doing it because I get some money so I can enjoy myself. But that is the reflection of, in the spiritual world, service to Krishna is just the spirit, not what I can get from Krishna, how I can serve Krishna. That is the exchange of spiritual love. It's a very, very high topic. It's not so difficult to understand intellectually. But to apply ourselves and to fully understand it, that requires some training, some practice. Just like you can't be an engineer just by saying, oh, I'd like to be an engineer. Oh, okay. I'd like to be a brain surgeon. Oh, that's good. My father needs a brain surgery. You like to be a brain surgeon? Yeah, okay. No way. You have to be trained under guidance, get experience. First few operations, if you even make it to be a brain, so you have to do under the guidance of an experienced surgeon. So in the same way, we have to come to the platform of loving Krishna. So for that we require a process. It's called sadhana, bhakti sadhana. That requires to be undertaken under guidance, under training, step by step. It's just like I was saying that people, they cover themselves with material desires. Yeah, I'm doing great. How are you doing? Great! Wow, I had a great night at the pub last night. Great, great. They're afraid to take that covering off because underneath they know everything is miserable. But we say, take it off. Don't go to the pub. Don't aspire to be great in this material world. It's all nonsense. But if I take it off, what's the... Then there's all my material desire. Well, take that off also. And then what's underneath? Your real spiritual being. So sadhana means the process of understanding who we are in our relationship to Krishna. And as we develop that more and more and more, we less and less and less desire to enjoy this material world. And we become more and more, even in this world, we become situated in the genuine happiness of Krishna consciousness. So you're all very fortunate. If you think about it, if you believe this, if you accept it, that we are all eternal living beings, we have nothing intrinsically to do with this material world, then you're very, very fortunate to get this knowledge and this understanding. And if you practice it in this life, then you don't get born again, you go to Krishna in the spiritual world. So kindly take it up. It's very easy to take up. Everything is compressed. The whole process of spiritual life, everything is there in the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Very simple. Everything's in there. Even E equals MC squared is in there. Just a tiny, tiny little bit. Beyond that is the bliss of the spiritual world. Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming and listening. If anyone would like to ask any questions, please do so. We'll give some time for... We don't need a mic, do we? They're all young men, they've got good strong voices. They can speak. Or maybe, you want a mic? Back, ladies. Do you have a mic? No? Okay. Then, if anyone likes to... Or maybe you just need to... All that to go in and digest. I think it's nothing new I said. Whatever I said you've heard here before, huh? Isn't it?
Yeah.
You need to say it a few times to get it, to ram it in, to get it inside. All right then, so we'll finish there.
Hare Krishna, we have some books here. This is Bhagavad Gita as it is. It's written by...